We're back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Milwaukee musician John Seeger takes songs seriously. So seriously, in fact, he has a regular column about other people's songs on urbanmilwaukee.com. And he's been singing and writing his own for decades. Tonight, he's starting a monthly series at the Jazz Gallery that he's calling Seeger on Songs Conversations. And he joins me in the studio now to tell us more. Hey, John Seeger.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm good for me.
I know. It's been a while since I've seen you.
I know. It's been a long time.
It has been. And so you've got this really couple of cool projects going on, and I wanted to hear about them
before
I leave town, since I'm going to miss them because I'm leaving town before
We're flying you back. I'm sending my private jet.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. I know. I got that kind of—
You know I only take blue M&Ms.
Okay. Yeah. We'll make sure. We don't want to get that wrong.
Yeah. No. It's in my rider.
I don't want to see you when you get the green ones.
Yeah, no.
I've heard about
it. It's really ugly. So anyway, how you been? And
what is
this project?
I've been real good. I've been real busy.
Yeah?
Yeah, with these projects. I have a record coming out shortly, like a month and a half. It's an acoustic record with my good friend John Parrott, who's the master of the Archtop Acoustic. When you have John, you don't need a drummer. Although I put a drummer on a couple tracks, a semi-twang drummer. But his time is impeccable. And then I just have been writing in a different bag lately. And, since I always write on acoustic, I thought I got to do a record like that. So that'll be out. It's going to be called Modern Folk, Volume 2.
Is there a Volume 1?
No.
Okay. Just let people think there is.
That wasn't my idea. I was going to call it Volume 1, and I talked to Michael Feldman, a guy I've written a lot of songs with, and he said, call it Volume 2. And I said, okay, I will.
Yeah, I like it.
I do.
I like that a lot.
It's a little bit naughty.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Get all of the straight stuff out in Volume 1, and now we're getting to the good stuff in Volume 2.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, it's not just that, though. You're doing the album?
No, there's an event that I'm planning, and I have to say I'm really being produced by my wife, Lindsay, who's really great at pulling things together. I'm sort of an upfront kind of guy. I think of things, and I hand it off to competent people, and she's one of them. She's the main one, really. And it's going to be called Seeger on Songs Conversations, and it's going to take place the third Thursday of every month at the Jazz Gallery Art Center, Performing Art Center. They're working on the name right now, but it's the Jazz Gallery, and it's an art center. And I'm going to have guests from around town who I respect. We're going to talk about like lifting the hood and looking at songs and what influenced you and how they work and, what's a minor chord and, what did
and
you
And when would you use it? And
And why would you use it?
Yeah. I mean, is this a takeoff on your column?
It is based on that because my column is it would be a conflict for me to say anything nasty like a critic. So I don't want to be perceived that way, but I wanted to express all just what I love about songs. So I pick a song every week that I love and one that not necessarily one I'm even familiar with or been moved by or influenced, but when I hear it and it strikes me as a good story, I just did that Norma Tanaga, who died recently, who did Walking My Cat Named Dog, which I barely remembered. And when I listened to it, it was such a treat, So I get to write about that.
The alchemy of a good song is one of those things that, I mean, you and I have talked about it over the years that you've come into the studio. I've talked about it with like every musician who's come in here and who writes his or her own stuff. And there is something so human about the need to put all of that stuff in a song.
I know. It's crazy. And everyone's different the way they approach it. But, I really, for a long time, I came at it from the music end until I learned how to write lyrics working with Michael Feldman, who was kind of a savant at it. And it was years ago. But it's a higher language that everyone, except for a few unfortunate souls, receives and understands emotionally. But not everyone can speak it or write it. So that's the difference between a musician and the rest of the people in the world. Everyone understands music. They don't know why they're feeling a certain way, but that's a musician manipulating them in a benign way rather than a naughty way. And so it is a higher language. I firmly believe that. And I also believe in infinite creativity. It's been proven over and over again by some of the beautiful songs I write about. And I've got my, you know, I got ones that are near the top all the time, like God Only Knows and Girl from Ipanema and a few
Why
others.
Why Girl from Ipanema? That's an interesting choice.
Both of those songs have middle sections that are nuts, and they deliver you back to the original key. But they go way somewhere different in a beautiful way, and somehow, without you even knowing it, you're back where you were. And the melodies, the words, you know, they're just they're very moving to me, those songs.
So when you think about song construction, what are the elements? For somebody who might not know how a song comes together, mm-hmm. and I know there's lots of approaches yeah. to that, but what are the elements that a musician is working with?
Everyone's working, hopefully, with the same thing. I'd like – the good example is Lennon and McCartney. I think McCartney had absorbed so much music because his dad was a band leader that he was a little more – fluent in it. He wasn't necessarily literate. He didn't read music, and I don't know if he does yet. But he understood all these things. And when he broke a rule, he did it knowledgeably and, you know, kind of willfully. And Lennon just would just – he seemed like – he also was a super musical person. But he was completely self-taught, and he didn't grow up like that. But he had a way of breaking rules first and then – putting it back together or just doing the joy of it in his work is especially, you know, he did some crazy things. So I'm not sure how everybody works. You know, you can be like Randy Newman and be completely schooled and have uncles who wrote movie scores and write, I think, profound music. And you can be Muddy Waters and make profound music because you grew up on a plantation in Mississippi. So I try not to draw that line. I admire folk musicians, unschooled musicians, and I really like Burt Bacharach.
Yeah,
another genius.
Yeah, I like them all because they all bring something to it, you know. But we're talking about melody, we're talking about rhythm.
Yeah.
We're talking about harmony sometimes, mm-hmm. and we're also talking about the lyrics.
Those are the four elements for
me.
Yeah, those are like the four pillars. I think
that's the four pillars.
Is it a religion now?
I think it is. The four pillars of song.
Yeah.
There's your book title.
I'm doing a clinic right now. That actually, it's a return to basics. I do songwriting clinics with small groups. And I did the first week was, believe it or not, harmony. Second week was melody. Third week was rhythm. Last week was lyrics. And the two, I do a six-week thing, so I've gone beyond the four pillars at this point. The two other really important concepts for me are tension and release, which jazz people obsess about, and good writers know how to do it in all four of those areas, and editing. So those things, I think, are the really important things in songwriting.
Yeah.
You have to know that not every single thing you put down the first time is it, and you have to stick with it until it's perfect.
Well, editing is magic for everybody. You know, all art requires an editor.
And it's mercy for the listener, too.
Yes,
because I've sat through, you know, I've seen some writer's nights and things like that where people think a song should have 26 verses that don't make any sense. So,
well, I mean, you know, it's kind of like, well, Dylan did it, so
yeah.
Why can't I? Yeah.
That's right. He gets to do it. No one else does. There might be a couple others. A
couple of others.
But he's Leonard Cohen, too, can go on, and I'm okay with that.
Well, yeah. Tell me about the song of yours that we're going to hear that I understand is relatively recent.
Well, because the first session of Conversation, Seagrand Song Conversation, is going to have Holly Habig and David Wake, two married couple, and both artists I really admire. She's a great singer. He's leads De La Buena, the great Latin jazz band. And they're both really good citizens and very concerned with social justice and very aware of those kind of things and reflected in their music too. So the first conversation is going to be about songs that do that. I'm calling them freedom songs. They can be protest songs. They can be topical songs. I haven't written a lot of those, but now I'm writing quite a few because we're working. My next project is going to be working with Semi-Twang on an acoustic record of those kind of songs. So here's one that's going to be on it. It's called It Wasn't Right. 17, he wasn't right. 18, he wasn't right. They shipped him off, it wasn't right. It wasn't right, it wasn't right.
Upstairs, he wasn't right. Still a kid, he wasn't right. How's he supposed to fight? It wasn't right, it wasn't right. Tell me now, what's the plan? He came back a broken man. Nice higher than a kite. It wasn't right, it wasn't right. Sad story, now he's gone. Another broken soldier down. Out of mind and out of sight. It wasn't right, it wasn't right. Seventeen, it wasn't right. 18, it wasn't right. They shipped him off, it wasn't right. It wasn't right, it wasn't right. It wasn't right, it wasn't right.
That's a very cool song.
Thank you.
And very simple.
Yeah, simple's good, you know? I think you have to sympathize with the audience sometimes and not try and show everything you know all the time. And I try not to write from a real insecure place, or I try not to be complicated unnecessarily. There were times when I was. And sometimes that's good.
I was going to say, and sometimes that's youth.
Yeah.
You know, you get older, you realize, we can just edit that right out. Don't need it. Don't need it. And it's a great thing. It's
it really
a great
is.
Thing to get to that point where you say, you know, I can say it with these three chords, and I don't need to add 48 others. But like you said, it also can be fun. You know,
when I was writing with Greg, who's going to be another one of my guests on this show, Greg Kalk, who is obviously a virtuoso on guitar and a funny guy. And as a writer, he goes to some very complex places. And I think the way to deal with that is you do the simple part then, so there isn't – it isn't complex, and all of a sudden it's complete prog rock of some sort.
You know, and I'm thinking about protest songs, and of course I think about people like Woody Guthrie, and I think about, you know, the great protest songs in the UK over, you know, miner strikes and various things. And there's something about them. They have to be both anthemic in some way. Mm-hmm. There's like that anthem quality, but they have to touch people. I don't write music, but I think it would be really easy to make it too sentimental.
It has to be processed somehow. It has to be a song. It can't just be content. Otherwise, it's an article, you know? It has to find its musical legs, and it has to have something seductive in there to draw you in. And that's tough. Writing protest songs is tough. When you're talking about a song like 1913 Massacre by Woody Guthrie, which is heartbreaking, it's still a great song structure.
Billy Bragg is another one who writes some really great, you know, modern protest songs.
Yeah.
Do you think a protest song needs something that the audience can sing along with, or is that not necessary?
I think it always helps. I think it helps. He's amazing. And actually, Semi-Twang is going to do the first night of the convention at Shank Hall, and we're going to do this protest record we're making. The next three nights. I think there's the convention, four nights total.
I think so.
Billy Bragg's there. So that's going to be cool.
Oh, man. Yeah. You're going to be there all three nights, right?
I hope so, yeah.
He's great. I saw him at Turner about a decade ago, and he's just amazing in performance.
Yeah.
He's just, whether you agree with him politically or not, is immaterial. He's just an electrifying performer.
Yeah.
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 And a great songwriter.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And I love that what he did, he and Wilco did with the Woody Guthrie lyrics on Mermaid Avenue. That's one of my favorite records from the 90s. It was in the top five, I think.
Seagaron songs. You've got the one coming up with David and Holly, and then you've got one with Greg. What's happening after that?
Well, we've got Ramblin' Dino locked in. He's Dean Schlabowski, a Milwaukee native who didn't live here for a long time. He lived in Chicago and Austin, and he's a member of the Waco Brothers, who feature John Langford from the Mekons. And they're punk rockers, but they're also, they love country music. And Dino, he's just got the fire right now to write topical songs, and he's doing a great job.
Terrific.
I mean, they're funny. He has one called The Racist Barber, which he sings in the first person, a cappella. He's got just a bunch of them, and they're so good, you know? So, you know, it's dangerous to talk about songs, but I think I've been thinking and talking about them forever, and they're still mysterious. You never solve that mystery of why people understand it instantly.
Or why one is really good and one just doesn't quite make it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what is the magic piece?
And one doesn't quite make it and wins the award for at the Oscars.
Right. Yeah, that often happens. Yeah. It's anyway.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a weird.
It really is.
It's a weird meritocracy we live in.
Yeah. Well, John, it has been such a pleasure.
Well,
having you in the studio over the last 14 years in various forms and guises.
Like I say, we're going to miss you here in Milwaukee. It's going to be diminished.
It is
considerably with when you leave.
It is a mutual feeling. I am going to miss everybody too, but I'm coming back. I've already told people I'm coming back for Irish Fest.
You should come back for the convention.
No,
you could be the expert.
No, I'm escaping. No, I'll be deep in getting my feet under me in the new job. So
yeah,
big stuff.
Dang.
But I will be back for Irish Fest, and I plan to come see people. And if you're ever, I've been telling everybody, if you're ever out touring and you're in upstate New York, you let us know. We have a
How
nice.
How far up is this? How
almost in Canada.
Oh,
so you
wow.
can escape if you need to.
You're lucky because you may have to move there.
I can swim. I can swim across
it's
the
on
St.
The
Lawrence.
St. Lawrence?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Almost. I mean, it's like 20 minutes from the St. Lawrence.
Oh,
yeah.
It's got to be beautiful up
it's
there.
Gorgeous up
yeah.
there. Yeah.
Oh,
it
well,
really
congratulations.
Is. Thank you,
you
so much.
You earned it.
Thank you.
And you'll be with our friend Mitch
our
out there,
friend
too.
Mitch, yep.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of new good people, and it's a great music station as well as news station. So, you know, if you guys end up on tour, let me know.
Yeah, I'm going to do a little trio or quartet for the acoustic stuff, and semi-twine could. You never know.
You never know. You just let me know. So
once I get that number one hit,
then you know, you can afford to go. So
okay, well, I have a song for you.
You do.
To send you off. In style, it's called Remember Me, but We'll Remember You is how it goes. It's kind of a love song, and it's kind of a more universal than that, I hope. Anyway, I'm going to do it for you.
Yeah, won't you please remember me when you get down on bended knees to say a prayer? Won't you remember me?
John Seeger hosts Seeger on Songs Conversations at the Jazz Gallery starting tonight. There is a link to ticket information at WUWM.com. Jason Reavy engineered our in-studio session.
The one that you are sweet on when you are frosted, let me turn the heat on. In a ragged state of mind, so worn out in these jagged times, we all need love, won't you remember me? They can't get love, they're not allowed it. We sure could if you'd remember me. Yeah, won't you please remember me when you get down on bended knees to say a prayer? Won't you remember me? Yeah, won't you please remember me when you get down on bended knees to say a prayer? Won't you remember me?